Welcome to the Analytics of Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. Diving into some quarterback discussion, over the weekend saw some talk of Deshaun Watson potentially giving a list of team names to the Houston Texans for their trade consideration. So that included at the top the New York Jets and the Miami Dolphins. That's notable. In addition, something I've long speculated about and didn't think I'd be right this early was Matthew Stafford being on the move. So it looks like he's going to be a potential trade candidate. And it looks as good as gone, right? They've basically agreed that they're gonna end this thing. You know, we still have the Wentz thing hanging out there. What they're going to do, what teams are going to do in Darnold and Tua, you know, what if they're going to take quarterbacks there with the Jets and in Miami or make trades, right? Well, I think the over on a half of one of those guys getting a new quarterback is pretty safe. Just in terms of Watson seems to loom pretty large over both of those guys and what the secondary trade market is with those guys. So I'll just say, like, I was looking at – so I went back and I looked at some of these deals, and I think the big takeaway for this is, like, it's some of the stuff for first round quarterbacks. I mean, it's pretty wild. So we've had basically, by my count, going back, we have had again, went back to 2010, 2011. I think it's 2010. So we have had about 33 or so quarterbacks drafted in the first round. And so I just went and broke down the looked at the trades. What's notable is in the past 3 years, in the past 2 years, right? So 2020 and 2019, we haven't had a trade up, which is actually surprising. And 2020 could have been, you know, reasons, pandemic reasons for that. 2019, maybe the quarterbacks just weren't that good, so we didn't necessarily need them for Haskins or Daniel Jones. But so you had Burrow at 1, Tua at 5, Herbert at 6 in 2020. 2019, you had Murray at 1, Jones at 6, Haskins at 15. The last quarterback to be traded up in the first round was Lamar Jackson. In that trade, Lamar Jackson, that pick, so he was pick 32. It was 32 and 132 for 52, 125, and a future second. So again, it's basically, you know, some marginal upgrades. It's basically the cost of like a couple of seconds is really the way to think about that one. And then Trubisky, it cost 67 and 111 to move up one spot to take Trubisky in 2017. Mahomes was a first, which was 27 overall. So Mahomes was picked at 10. So he was 27th overall pick. 91st, which was actually used in a trade up for the in the Zay Jones deal. It's funny how these things turn out. And the 2018 first, and Buffalo actually did pretty well in that. They ended up taking Tre'Davious White and their linebacker Edmonds there with those two picks. So and then took Josh Allen with their regular pick in 18. So that actually pseudo worked out for them. So again, that's a trade up. And then you had Watson, who was the 25th overall and a 2018 first. I forgot that was actually a trade up. I thought that fell into their lap for some reason, but that was actually a trade up. So basically, any, you know, a move from essentially the later in the second to the mid, or later in the first to the mid first, is basically the cost of a future first, right? That's essentially what the deal is there. So that's that. Goff was taken first. The trade there was 15, 43, 45, 76, and a 2017 first and third. So basically two firsts, two seconds, and two thirds to move from 15 to 1. And then when you look at the Wentz deal, basically they had to move in a cascade trade. They had to move from 13 to 2. So that cost them the 13th pick, the 77th pick, the 100th pick, a future first, a future second, Byron Maxwell, and Kiki Alonso. And then Paxton Lynch. So that's, you know, that's multiple, really. I mean, if you sort of break that down, that's two firsts, a second, and two thirds. Paxton Lynch was taken at 26th. They moved from 31st. They gave up 31 and 94 to do that. So that was basically the cost of a future third. Winston and Mariota were actually, so it was 2 years, basically, a quarterback hadn't been drafted without a trade-up. It was Winston and Mariota went 1 and 2 in 2015 without trade-ups. 2014, it was Bortles at 3. Manziel was a trade-up from 26 plus 83 to 22, so basically a third cost for four spots there. Bridgewater was a trade-up as well from 40... and it was 108 to 32 to take him there. So, yeah, so again, it's basically like a fourth rounder to move up a handful of picks at the end of the back half of the first round. The economy of these are pretty similar. One of the notable ones is EJ Manuel. They actually traded back and took EJ Manuel, the Bills did. So that's actually a good way to do it considering the miss risk. They basically got a – there's a lot of moving pieces to the trade, but there was like a future second to basically move back like six or seven spots. And then they took EJ Manuel at quarterback one. So it was actually not a bad, right? Like if you're going to take a quarterback, that's kind of a bad class. Like that's kind of the way to do it. So you go back to 2012, that's the Andrew Luck and Tannehill. So at 1 and 8, they were taken with their without a trade up. RG3, Washington gave 6, 22, 39, and a future second. And Wheaton was actually a trade, was taken in the trade down deal for Julio the prior year. That was an extra pick that Cleveland had. Okay, so 2011, when you look at some of these deals, like the amount of picks that Cleveland has had that just have bombed out is pretty amazing. They've actually done pretty good at trading down and just not done particularly well at drafting. 2011, so that's the Newton at 1, Locker at 8, and Ponder at 12 were all the natural picks. Gabbert was a trade up. It was basically a second, so it was 49 overall to move from 16 to 10. And Sam Bradford was taken at 1 in 2010. Tebow was taken at 25. That was a trade up, 43, 70, and 114. So basically to move up a half round, it cost a third and a fourth. When you look at some of the trades that were notable going back some years here, the Vikings traded for Sam Bradford in 2016. They traded a first and a 2018 fourth for him. The year before that, Philadelphia had traded for Sam Bradford. So they had traded Nick Foles a fourth and a future second for him. So they basically turned like Nick Foles a fourth and a second and a year of Bradford into the 14th overall pick. So honestly, like that's probably like a net neutral there for them. So that's that one there. Let's see. So that's those are the two ones for Bradford. Washington traded for Alex Smith for Kendall Fuller in a third. KC had traded a second for Alex Smith like 5 years before that. So they basically got Alex Smith kind of for like net neutral costs, which is pretty interesting. And then you go back a while back, Oakland paid, which is amazing considering that Carson Palmer was basically threatened retirement. They gave us a first round pick and a 2013 second round pick for Carson Palmer, which didn't work out. And then they traded him to Arizona for like just to get rid of his contract, and he turned out to be pretty well. So that's all those. So the interesting things, you go back and look at like what was the success. So Smith was a success in the trade market. Bradford was probably a failure twice, although you could call one of them a net neutral, the one that Philly acquired him on, because he kind of didn't. It basically ended up being kind of like a pass through deal. So Palmer was a failure in Oakland. So the real only success I would say was Kansas City trading for Alex Smith in terms of these bigger deals. You obviously have Bridgewater. We'll see on that. But he, yeah, he ended up being a, he was a, actually a free agent. So he was one that was actually fell into this that were kind of up in the air on how they did. So I went back and looked and said, all right, who's basically earned a second contract? Right, and so that's, this isn't a way I think we should think about this Watson and Stafford deal. So who's earned a second contract? So I think there's, I have nine guys who have either done it or I think are going to do it in terms of signing a massive second deal. And the success rate on some of these is, well, you'll see. So Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson, I think, are lock yeses. Even though I'm not sure I want to pay Lamar Jackson like $100 million, I think they're going to. So Deshaun Watson, Mahomes, they've both signed the big deals. Goff did as well. Wentz did as well. So how you feel about those two things is interesting. Andrew Luck did and was good, but not great. Cam did and was good, but not great. Bradford did and was hurt. The maybes that I have in this are Murray, and I think Murray will. It's just... like, I think next year is a really interesting year for him in terms of him as a passer, because I think the narrative could really change. But when you sort of look at these things, like, all right, like, I think he can really, you know, I'm not really sure. The narrative could really change on him if he doesn't take a step forward as a passer, is my concern. So I think ultimately he'll get paid, but I'm putting him in the maybe category for right now. Daniel Jones is a firm maybe. Mayfield is a maybe. I'm not sure they're going to max him out. We'll see. You know, give him that four-year, $100 million deal. Darnold's a maybe, and Trubisky's a maybe. And the only reason Trubisky's a maybe is because they haven't said no yet. So when you look at that, so all right, I think the best-case scenario is maybe you get three out of that, but I think realistically you're going to get two or one. So when you look at this, and so my number's about 30. That happened in that period. So basically you get, right now I have nine guys locked into long-term contracts, and I would say really like three or four of them have been like worth it. And this is just, again, this is just first round guys. So there's been, so I have 30 guys that I'm looking at, like three, maybe four of them have been worth it. Again, Allen and Jackson are TBD on that. 16 of them have not earned a long-term deal with their second team. That includes Ryan Tannehill, who actually went some, you could sort of say, hey, he got kind of like an extension there. I didn't go with like the full franchise. I'm sort of looking at like the franchise quarterback type moniker. And he definitely didn't earn that in Miami. Yeah, so those are the ones there, you know, and even Winston and Mariota, right? Two guys that started basically their entire rookie contracts didn't earn it. So, yeah, so basically you have essentially, you've got 30 guys, 16 of them have flunked out completely. You have two guys, I would say you definitely have two guys that you've given long-term extensions to, and you're like, man, I really wish I didn't do that with Goff and Wentz. And then you've got probably three or maybe four more guys that are going to be straight no's in terms of not extensions. So Jones, Mayfield, Darnold, Trubisky, I think maybe three of those, two and a half or three of those are probably pegged for a no. So let's put that number at about, like, all right, so let's say you have 16 no's, you've got two more that are probably going to be no's, that's 18, and then you got two guys you really wish you hadn't done it with, that's 20 out of 30, right? So if you just sort of look at this and say, all right, the hit rate on some, and even some of the guys that we're pegging as yeses right now, we're not sure on, but we're really sure, the guys that we're really damn sure about in terms of gotten like long-term second contracts, Watson, Mahomes, Luck, right? Like, that's a 1 in 10 hit rate. I mean, that's – and Luck, I mean, Luck was good, but not – you know. And it's not – maybe it's not necessarily fair to say Allen and Jackson, right? So, I don't know. Maybe you say something that's like 10 to 15% of guys, 20%, 10 to 20% are going to earn like that max deal. And so when you go back and look at the trades and you see, all right, there's multiple firsts floating around – right, there's multiple first floating around in terms of these trades. Like, to get up and get RG3 basically costs three firsts. Two first and two future seconds. So we'll call that three first. Goff's was basically that they paid three plus first for him. Wentz, they did basically the same. You keep looking at these and you're like, all right, like, that's the cost of doing business, right? Like, all right, so it's two to three first to get basically a 30% chance that you're going to feel like extending this guy for a long-term deal. And when you sort of look at it, you're going to be like, all right, like, even if you do extend him, like, there's a 50-50 shot that you're going to feel good about it at the end of the day. So now we're looking at like a between 10 and 20% of, like, hey, we extended and we feel good hit rate. Okay, so that costs three first to do that with Jared Goff and Carson Wentz. So now we turn around and we look and we're like, all right, like, with Stafford, like, where is he on that spectrum? Like, I don't know. I think maybe we're not necessarily going to extend him for a long time, in 3 or 4 years. But over the next 4 years, he's going to perform probably like he is on a second contract, right? And that's kind of what you're looking for, is that guy to take that step. So you're going to pay like a single first round pick for that? Like, yes, like, anything you pay is like not enough, right? Like, whatever Detroit gets is not going to be enough. I feel like, unless it's three firsts, right? I mean, it's just crazy. Deshaun Watson, like, literally, I don't think there's a cost that you could pay. Like, if you, like, all right, if it's three first round picks for like a 20% shot that you're going to feel good about this guy in the long term, right? You're going to sign this guy and feel good in the long term. Like, all right, you've already, like, I don't know, I think it's a 80 to 90% shot on Watson. Like, as long as he doesn't get hurt, like, I think he's the goods, right? I don't have any questions. So we take 20%, we multiply it times four, right? So we take that three first as the 20%. I mean, you're never going to pay enough, right? Like, you're just, it's always going to be a good deal for the buyer because no one's ever going to pay that, right? No one's ever going to be able to pay that full market price. So the same thing with Wentz. Like, it's interesting when you sort of look at this thing with Wentz, you're like, all right, well, where am I? Like, all right, do I want to pay like a first for like maybe a 20% shot? It kind of feels like where we're at. It's probably better than that, honestly. But I mean, so that's kind of the economy, right? So that's kind of the economy. I will say, like, if you're trying to fix quarterback, right? People ask me this all the time, like, oh, I have a need at quarterback. Like, I'm looking at a whole bunch of guys that haven't fixed quarterback, right? A whole bunch of them. And when you sort of look at that, you're like even Bortles, like, even Mariota, even Winston, like, these guys worked for fantasy for a while. Like, Bridgewater was viable. So was Tannehill. So was RG3 hit for fantasy, right? Like, I think Tebow did. I'd have to go back and look. But, you know, they weren't long-term answers, right? Like, they weren't long-term answers. Would you give four of those guys for Watson right now? Like, would you, and I don't know, I just look at the numbers on this and you just sort of take these and you're like, man, like, it's pretty dim in terms of some of the hit rates on these guys. Like, what would you give to give Mahomes? Like, you almost can't give enough. Like, whatever it is, it's, Mahomes is the right answer. So it's just an interesting thing in terms of, like, when you look at the economy of these things, I think the amount of firsts that people are going to give are going to be fascinating in sort of how they structure those deals. But if it's like the equivalence of like three or four firsts, that's criminal. That's absolutely criminal because you're answering the most difficult question in all of sports, which is, how do I find a quarterback? Because there's about 25 of them that are good enough to play at any given time, like, good enough to be NFL quarterbacks at any given time, like, walk in the face of the earth. And if I could get one of the, like, top eight guys, like, that's franchise changing. And I have to pay, like, all right, so I'm going to have to pay, you know, multiple first to trade up for it to get that, right? If I'm Washington or if I'm the Colts, right? Like, just think about the Colts. Like, think about what the Colts would need to do, because the Colts are about the same spot as that Philly deal was, right? So if you go back and look, again, this isn't exact, but Philly was at 13. So the Colts are a little bit later than that. But Philly paid two starters, the 13th pick, the 77th pick, the 100th pick, the first and a future second for Carson Wentz. Right, to basically move up 11 spots. So they paid two firsts, a future second, and two future thirds, and two starters. Right, like if you're telling me that, like, with a first and maybe if you had to pay two firsts for Stafford, would you do it? Like, I mean, those are both going to be late firsts. Like, that's yeah, this year, next year. I mean, it's just crazy that you wouldn't. It's crazy that you wouldn't. They might even be able to fit Watson under contract. Like, that'd be insane. But, I mean, if that team had Watson, like, it's just, that's incredible. But again, you might have problems at wide receiver. They have a ton of cap space, though. Like, honestly, if they did Stafford, like, they're loaded because they could bring in a huge wide receiver and just be, like, rocking. And really have no weaknesses. So I honestly think that makes the most sense because it allows them optionality to do more, right? They can extend Stafford, create space, and bring in Allen Robinson or Chris Godwin and, you know, do one of those type deals. It'd be pretty wild. So, yeah, that's really – I think that Stafford deal and the results that would happen in Indianapolis could make them a Super Bowl contender. Like, that's how good I think that team can be. So – but yeah, so like when you look at, you know, if you're sitting there and you're Miami and you're like, yeah, you know, listen, we can take two and we can develop them. And I don't know, maybe we're a 20% shot of feeling good, or we can take Tua and trade a couple future first to get Watson. Like, that's a no brainer answer. Like, that is a no brainer. That just the economy of these things, just, it's a no brainer. So I'll be interested to see if this stuff actually happens. And it feels like Houston's kind of stuck, and it feels like Detroit's stuck as well. So it'll be interesting when the team is stuck, what's the economy look like? Because it's not going to look like anywhere near, if you were to just sort of imply the odds, it's not going to look anywhere near what these are. So again, if you're the interesting thing is like once you get outside the top, you know, 10 to 15, the rates really drop. I mean, not the rates aren't even that great above that, but like when you get a shot to take, that's why Philly taking a shot on like Jalen Hurts made like a ton of sense. Like when you get a shot to do that, and that's in the NFL and that's in Dynasty too. When you get a shot to do that, whether it's this year with Mac Jones, like if he's a top 10 guy and no one likes him or whatever, or like Trey Lance, whoever falls, like when you get that shot, you have to take it because it's that cheap. You have to take it, especially with those elite guys. And you know, if you get like a 20% hit rate guy in like the third round of a rookie draft, I think you should probably do that too. But those are a little bit less common. But yeah, that's really the big takeaways here. I think to watch these trades are going to be really interesting, and just to know that these quarterbacks are undervalued. So even if you can go from a couple of these developmental guys to like, you know, what would be your trade on like Herbert to Watson, right? Just because you sort of know with Watson, you're not totally sure with Herbert, you know, or from Herbert to Mahomes, like what's that gap? It'd be really interesting to think about. So, all right, well, that'll do it for this episode. Until next time, you can continue embracing the variance. And we will talk again very soon.